The call to order, our January 17th, 2024 meeting of the Ventura Port District Board. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Vice Chair, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We get a roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Brennan.
Present.
Commissioner Rainey.
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena.
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg.
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is adoption of the agenda. Commissioners, thoughts on tonight's agenda?
I move approval as presented.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. All right, next we'll talk about the minutes from our January 3rd, 2024 meeting. Commissioners, any thoughts on those minutes?
Move approval.
All right. I have a motion to approve and a second to approve the minutes from January 3rd. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes from January 3rd are approved. All right, public communications, an opportunity set aside for the public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have anyone from the public would like to talk to us tonight? Seeing nobody in the audience, do we have anybody online? No one online, so we will close public communications. Move on to our closed session report. Council?
Good evening, Chair Blumenberg, commissioners. The district met in closed session under the existing litigation, Ventura Harbor Village versus Andres Fernandez LLC, and the board voted to settle that lawsuit by way of a lease termination agreement and a stipulation for judgment. The vote was unanimous. With respect to the lease mentioned in the agenda, there was no reportable action taken under the Brown Act.
Thank you. We'll move on to board communications, an opportunity for commissioners to present brief reports on items that affect the port. Commissioners, any comments? Brian?
I would just like to reach out to thank our Harbor Patrol. I know, John, thank you for the efforts. We got a phone call and some emails, I think, in regards to some of the debris that washed down the Arundel Channel, some shopping carts and some other things. Shopping carts are setting up. Other things were starting to create a dam there, and debris was starting to show up there. And so I know that the Watershed Protection, I believe they worked in tandem with the Harbor Patrol to get those cleaned out. That's the short little stub channel. So I want to thank you and especially take advantage of the king tides with those super low tides, the ability to get in there and do some of that. I know it's difficult. It's mucky and but public sees it and they think, hey, that doesn't belong there. So anyway, thank you for jumping on that and making it all happen.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Well, so we will close the board communications, move on to our staff and general manager reports.
Thank Brian. You, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items. The annual Epiphany, which is the blessing of the waters, was hosted by St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church and community in the harbor on January 7th with a great turnout of participants and viewers of that event. This year, the Channel Islands National Park is organizing beach cleanups here at our Ventura Harbor beaches. The first one was held just this past Monday on January 15th on Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, had 55 volunteers assisting with the cleanup. The next cleanup date is scheduled for Saturday, March 23rd, in conjunction with the village's Mermaid Month. We want to thank Channel Islands National Park for organizing and help to provide opportunities to keep our beaches and waters clean. So a great opportunity here for for volunteerism and working closely with them. And what a great service to the harbor and to the community as a whole. Last night, Jennifer and I had the opportunity to attend Visit Ventura's annual Ventura Inspiration Guide reveal party, as they call it, at Deep Sea Wine Tasting Room here in the harbor. They move that around every year throughout the community, but this year chose Harbor Village to host the event, which was great. Several city and county dignitaries, along with Ventura and Harbor businesses, were in attendance, very well attended. This year's visitor guide cover features both on top of the water activities as well as the underwater playground representing the Channel Islands National Park. And I think it's right over there on Chris's desk, Commissioner Stevens. Thank you. And we'll get copies for all of the board members and have those out as well. Ventura Harbor Village and the Four Points by Sheraton, Holiday Inn Express and Suites make up the opening full page spreads, and a Ventura Harbor section featuring several of our businesses is included in the guide as well. Very well done. Great photography. Just a great document for the entire city. Winter whale watching is now in full swing in the channel with Island Packers offering half-day whale watching excursions to view gray whales, migration, and other marine wildlife now through mid-April. Promotions are underway. Some of you may have seen there have actually been some orcas spotted out there as well. That's adding to the excitement in terms of that, which is really neat to see. Beyond that, you have all of our departmental reports, and if you have any questions for staff, our managers are here this evening. Great work on their part, again, to showcase all the different things that are happening in and around the harbor. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn back to you if there's any comments or questions.
All right, Brian, thank you for those updates. Commissioners, any questions, comments on the general manager's report and the staff reports?
Just one or two for me. One is I appreciate the loose cannon update. I didn't see what date we're hoping they might open. So do we have any sense of that?
I mean, before Todd jumps in, I'll just say that we've been working very diligently to have the city provide a full permit to the tenant, which hopefully will be here within a few days to a week, I hope. They have been working under a preliminary permit that's allowed infrastructure work to begin and so on. We'll have to get an updated schedule once the tenant is under full construction. I mean, our estimate could be anywhere from 4 to 6 months. It's construction. So we'll get an update and we can bring that back to the board in terms of what the tenant thinks his full build out will be. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I will say that the tenant's intent was 4 months. I think that might be ambitious from whenever the permit's actually issued. At this point, the trenching's been done, the plumbing fixtures are in. I believe they're waiting on the city to come out and check the boxes, and then I'm not sure that they're allowed to pour the concrete over top, but that would be the next step. But they're still. I spent a good amount of time going through the plan revisions today. The city has opened up their back door so we can see the submitted plans. We can see the comments, and there's still a few comments that need to be addressed, and yeah, there's no one person to blame. Every architect has a little bit of blame, and the city's architects are no exception there too. So we'll get there, and there's a lot more collaboration going on, which I think is finally helpful. So
just thinking about the budget coming up, we've got loose cannon at opening as quickly as we had hoped. So lost rent there. We've got closures with Sugar Lab and with 805. And so I'm just wondering, have you guys thought through those losses in terms of what we might need to do with the budget?
I'll answer that. We're beginning this week to begin to work on our mid-year budget. Okay. And so from my perspective, we look at it from two ways. You know, okay, so there's not rent coming in from those, but how are the rents, you know, across the board and all other tenancies at the village and our master tenants, commercial fishing, you know, all of the different categories that we have. We also are achieving some one-time monies, obviously, from the city as it relates to Ventura Water Pure. And some of those monies have now been received by Gloria for, I believe it was parcel 19A. And so those some of those monies are inbound. So there's, you know, it'll be one of those. We got some negatives here and we probably have some positives on the other side. Where does it all flesh out? And by the time we bring you a mid-year budget, we'll have a better sense of that. You said you had a second. Was there a second question?
No.
Or comment? Okay.
Brian, when we do the mid-year budget, would it be possible to also get an estimate of the fund balance?
Yeah, I think we always do that as part of the mid-year budget. So, yes, we will do that.
You brought up Water Pure. I see that they are digging trenches. Looks like they're digging trenches and laying pipe on Anchor Drive. Is that?
Yeah, just in this last week, is they did the pipe pull from Marina Park out to sea, and then submerged that pipe. They worked closely with John and the Harbor Patrol team and our administrative staff. I think we were able to keep the harbor entrance open the entire time. That was that pipe, as they had advertised, was flexible. And I think they pushed it to the northerly side of the channel entrance. It took about a 24-hour period, I think, from start to finish. They started one afternoon. When I came in the next morning, the pipe was still out there. Those are some photos I sent to you. And then within a few more hours, it was completely out to sea. Then they submerged it and then pulled it back under, and now it's, if I understand correctly, it's under Marina Park. And yes, there's obviously the trenching on Anchors Way Drive and the pipe that's going in there as well. I do think that there is likely a need for them to use our property for a couple more months. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think slightly unanticipated by the city, but not too surprising. The contract for trenching on Anchors Way all the way to Harbor and to where the new treatment plant will go was won by the same contractor that won the other side. So they've actually requested from the city the ability to keep staging there while they're doing the trenching under Anchors Way and all the way out to Schooner. And then they would use the staging location they have at the other end of Harbor. So that's within what was granted in the easement agreements. There is a compensation clause for us. So there's nothing really to do except receive some more money.
I hope that they keep on schedule and keep moving quickly. I did see them, one of my commutes along Harbor, I saw them surveying Harbor too. So it looks like they're moving out. So that's good news. They were going to get us some hydrographic survey information. Have we received that? Did we learn anything? Or
the surveys have not come in, but they did do the subcon. Well, I'm not sure which sequence of the contractor. One of the contractors that was responsible for the pipe pull had the survey down in the channel. And then also at sea, and that data they were going to share with us. And I was able to say, hey, go up the sub channel a little, please. And they've apparently did that for us too. So I haven't received the data, but when we do get it,
interested we'll to see what that says. Yeah. And then I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jackie.
Just on the easements, is there, if I remember correctly, we had a couple of months where they had the option to renew the easement, and then it expires and would need to be renegotiated.
Yeah, we'll double check as we go along, but my understanding is that they will be in the optional months where they just reimburse us for additional money, and we won't exceed the term. It seems very unlikely to me that they would exceed the term that the easement agreement allowed for, which I think was June 30th.
Thanks.
We had a bid opening scheduled for today for the launch ramp work, and that go off okay? Very good, very good. Love it when things stay on schedule. And then getting back to dredging, California Coastal Commission, I was going to do a review of some additional monitoring plans. We submitted any feedback from those guys?
Yeah, they asked, can we not review as quickly as we told you we were going to? We're really busy. we've made it clear that the intended award date for the dredging, and we told them that that would be extremely poor taste for them to not have provided the full permit by the time we're supposed to award the contract. So they understand that buys them 2 weeks, but they understand why it's important and the obligation to complete it. So
yeah,
I believe they will live up to that. And then in their approving the permit, automatically the Army Corps permit is official, because that's considered a consistency determination between the state and the federal government.
Very good. And then last note I'll say is I like the update on this emergency backflow repair drill. Facility repairs, Sergio.
One day I'll get that right.
Just reinforces why we, you know, have the shops here, just to be able to respond to that stuff and get repairs done promptly. So well done. All right, we will close the staff and general manager reports, move on to our consent agenda. Tonight we have two items on the consent agenda: approval of a new office lease and authorization to exercise a lease option. So commissioners, thoughts on the tonight's consent agenda?
Do we have any public comments? None? Okay.
No public comments in the room and none online, right?
Chair, I'll be happy to move the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right. So I have a motion and a second to approve tonight's consent agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we have approved the consent agenda. Two items, the approval of a new office lease and the authorization to exercise the lease option. All right, move on to our standard agenda. We've got three items on the standard agenda tonight. First one is an update on the recent and forecasted storm events. So, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have Todd start off and John provide additional information for this item.
Yeah, I'll start off by saying thank you to the Harbor Patrol, who took one of our consultants, Richard Parsons, out to do an inspection of the breakwater and jetties and groin on the Harbor Patrol boat. His determination, based on many, many years of experience and institutional knowledge, identify that there's a lot more that isn't quite right with the breakwater after the events. It was below the waterline and less seen at low tide. And we have requested the Army Corps of Engineers come out and do an inspection. Harbor Patrol will be taking them out tomorrow to take another look. Part of the Corps' normal process is what's called a comprehensive condition survey, which is done on a periodic basis. But of course, they can do them more often. Just because the structures are damaged doesn't mean that they're not functional. So there may or may not be a decision to do something about them. But if the Corps comes back and tells us not great, that will be one more lobbying effort, because it becomes a separate project for the Corps of Engineers to seek funding, permitting, and everything else to do repairs and upgrades. So we will find out more information tomorrow during the visit, and we'll probably report back as we learn more. That's it for my part.
There's a question on that. Are other ports experiencing the same type of, or is it too early to tell from all of this? In other words, I'm trying to estimate the demand with the Army Corps of Engineers, whether or not there'll be a flood of districts and beaches and whatever's requesting funds.
Yeah, it's so the Corps of Engineers navigation structure of complete portfolios, about 1,100 structures around the nation. And in any given year, there's always a list of structures that different agencies are trying to get funded. I think at this point, California has two, maybe three, that are considered in need. And those are lobbying efforts by CMANC, and those are lobbying efforts by the individual port authorities trying to get money for those structures. The most recent big repair was up in Port San Luis. It took them about 10 years to get the funding in place and get the construction done. That's the kind of fight it may be. But I don't know that any took enough abuse that is signaling anything at this point. But definitely, we know, if you saw in the paper, Wainimi had something in the vicinity of $30 million worth of infrastructure damage. That obviously means the water went right past their jetties and breakwaters too. So it's hard to say who else got hit and how badly. But we'll keep our ear to the ground for that. And I'm sure at the CMAQ meeting, we'll know more when the different agencies in California are talking about it.
All right. Good evening. So this is essentially us listening to you guys reaching out to us earlier or late last year saying, hey, we want to make sure that we're prepared. So the reason why we have this on the agenda is because it's still a 54% chance that El Nino will continue through till April. And judging on what we've already seen in the damage, it's highly likely that we'll incur other stuff. By giving you regular updates, you're more informed. With our messaging, we're better prepared, and we're with the main goal of keeping the public safe. However, if we get some major damage, you guys will be able to make those hard decisions, whether we enact emergency declarations or we continue on this path. We predict giving you updates until either the storms end or the beach is replenished and most of the hazards are removed. But tonight, generally speaking, what I wanted to just say that we continue the public information, the assertive communications, the Port District staff, Harbor Patrol, maintenance, facilities, marketing have continued to assess the hazards and change some of the messaging so it's consistent with things like our street signs, making sure that the messaging on the beach entry points is consistent with the stuff on the dunes. It's been what we feel pretty effective. Brian mentioned Martin Luther King Day, which was a national day of service and volunteerism. We had a bunch of people from the community who weren't familiar with this area in that environment. So all those warnings and notices and things helped them be safe while they were out there on the beach, especially in the cliff areas and the rock areas. To date, I think I have not received any reports of anyone being injured, which is a win on our side. But we continue to see the erosion. After the storms, we had the king tides with moderate surf, not high surf, but moderate surf. Any time that the tide's high, it's going to take away some of that sand. So that picture was taken in early January. I'll probably get another one up before the next meeting, which will show a little bit more erosion that has occurred. And looking ahead, we anticipate additional storms, and we're committed to remain vigilant to protect lives, to respond promptly to any additional hazards. And, that is kind of the purpose of this update. And to answer any questions. Real quick, we have rain this weekend. It sounds like it's two different storms coming through, but the Sunday, Monday has the greater chance to bring rain, predicted 1 to 3 inches. So fortunately, it's not accompanied with real high wind and high surf. It's mostly a rain event. We sometimes will have issues over at the Navigator by the Holiday Inn Express, but more than likely the amount of rain as predicted, we should be fine. That's kind of the update.
Thank you, John. One of the things I noticed in this photo, if you look closely, is some of the different signage that the different departments have worked together on. If you look, you'll see where Jessica's got the cursor and then additional signage there. We were just updating some of the messaging this week after communicating in our weekly staff meeting on getting that message out. And I think, John, you've had an electronic reader board on Spinnaker Drive, and then we've got signage at each of the entry points from the parking lots, and as you can see where the rocks are, there additional signage there, and then at each entry point where the wood retaining fence is along Spinnaker Drive, facilities has had to continually sort of put those back up as people knock them over or move them to the side or whatever, that's been helping in terms of our messaging out in the beach area. So with that, Mr. Chair, that's our report. Obviously, staff's here to answer any questions you or the board may have.
Commissioners, any questions on this report?
I have a quick one. Are we supposed to be on the beach?
The beaches in Ventura County are no longer closed, but we have assertive messaging to say that there's danger. So,
okay. So when I walked on the beach, I didn't want to say that until I confirmed that we were supposed to be walking on the beach. I mean, it's the erosion is really dramatic. The before and after pictures in my head are just astonishing. I know on the East Coast, and I'm thinking specifically of Cape Cod, they take a lot of measures to replenish the sand dunes or build them back up. Is that something that we are doing or thinking of doing? Or
that's the goal of dredging for the last 10 years, is to replenish as much as we can to the best ability that we can. And that includes even Todd has been looking at alternatives, for example, bringing additional sand. So, yeah, I mean, those cliffs are one of the bigger concerns from our perspective, people getting down in that lower beach area with a tide coming up and not being able to safely escape if the waves or the tide rises. But yeah, that's been the goal of dredging, is to replenish the beach, rehabilitate the beach. If we could improve the dunes, we try to, to the best of our ability and within our permits.
Because it seems like it's going to be eroding more quickly than we're going to be able to replenish it. Like, we're never going to catch up.
So, well, yeah, there's probably, I mean, with sea level change, there's probably some truth to that. Some of the things that we're working on with Robert Smith in permits with the Coastal Commission will actually be to give us more direct permission to reseed the dunes and plant more vegetation in the front. We're working on that. We're working on that today. Finding a common ground with the Coastal Commission, because they do want us to do way in above and beyond what we want to do, and, you know, and obligate us to things that maybe isn't, you know, part of the, you know, isn't fair, we'll say. But we do absolutely believe that planting the foredune, which is the water side of the dunes as they get rebuilt through the dredging project, has significant advantages to protecting against future erosion. It won't stop it entirely, but it's certainly a mitigating measure.
Who's responsible for the beach?
So we have leases with the State Land Commission. It's the State Land Commission's beaches. We have leases with the State Lands Commission that obligate us to take care of the beach, but we can't actively take care of the beach without a permit from the Coastal Commission allowing us to take care of the beach. So we are negotiating with the Coastal Commission on that. And despite promises to Brian, probably last July, that we would have that in hand by the end of the year, we're not even close. So we're very fortunate that the Corps of Engineers permits will allow them to do the beach restoration, but we'll be able to plant after, but we won't be able to touch the sand ourselves probably for several more months.
Now, Beacon is a local group that monitors that. And Brian, I think there's a Beacon meeting coming up soon, isn't there?
There is the 26th of this month. It's going to document a lot of the damages that have happened along the different jurisdictions. But in regards to Beacon 2, Beacon was the ones that the Surface Point project is. And to speak to your question, Jackie, you're right. Coastal dune system is very delicate, but it does need native plants to help anchor it, and, you know, and the right plants. And we've got a lot of ice plant down there, and we've got a lot of other plants that aren't the ones that really help. The native plants have a system, that root system, that not very high, but go this way. And so as you look there, you see those pictures. That's why the cliffs are. It's the scarp is huge, and generally speaking, that doesn't happen with a regular dune system. It sort of eats into the dune a little and then takes it and comes back and forth. But there was no, we just recently, I think the last dredging cycle, replenished that beach, and so it was all fresh sand without any kind of a dune, of any kind of dune plants having an opportunity to grow, and that takes probably about 2 to 3 years cycle to get established. But I did want to say that Surfrider has a number of volunteers. We're the ones there was no money for replanting at Surfers Point when the project was done, and got the right seeds and got the right plants and replanted, and over a 2 to 3 year cycle actually established itself. And now it's basically, if you go up there, it's really what this could look like. But it would take some work and some moving forward. But to answer the question, we're going to have that erosion on a continuous basis. And this picture is very telling. And I think the other one I saw from the other direction was even more so. It's just like all that sand is gone. We're almost to the road again on the other end, down by down by the ponds. And I think that's always going to be an ongoing problem. But there is Coastal Conservancy, and the Coastal Commission is giving permits for what they call living shorelines. And in some ways, this is and would be that component. So when we're going to that piece of it, I think framing it around a living shoreline that protects that infrastructure of the street, because we will legally be allowed to drop rocks when it's right against the road. But then we're going to have to, you know, it's hell to pay. The mitigation for that is an awful lot of money and an awful lot of work and a lot of staff time to make up. So if we can create actually more of a natural system there, it would be very helpful. But over time, I've just wondered if there's enough 2 to 3 seasons of letting that get establish itself so it can protect itself, as opposed to just keep replenishing. And we'll keep replenishing the sand, because, you know, and then the question is, what do we do after that? So I'm happy to create conversations with Surfrider and a couple of other groups that could help that. Because I think this would be an ideal place, again, to showcase it. Sorry to go on, but Surfers Point is being used around the country as a method when you have the opportunity. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but the idea of, nobody likes to hear the word retreat, but the idea of, like, let's say, managed coastline, managed sustainability, you're just moving back and giving yourself a chance to manage that. Now, there's no private homes there. They're worth $18 to $20 million apiece, so it's a little easier to do with public land than with private land. But these are the things that, especially when it comes to the road, I would almost suggest that we start looking at the living shoreline, because we will have to drop rocks at some if we don't, we'll have to start dropping rocks, and then we've got to, there's a price to pay for that afterwards. So, and they'll tell us to put in the living shoreline, and that'll cost 3 times as much as it might now, because we've with the dredging cycle. So if we can coordinate some of the native plants going in, some native plant along with the dredging cycle, I think that would be very helpful at this point. So I think if we can get that into some type of just as a project, and then maybe flush it out a little bit more, I think it'd be very helpful long-term in terms of sustainability, in terms of cost for the Port District on having to keep that beach and the road available for the public.
And Tony, one more question, and then I'll turn it over to you.
Sorry, didn't want.
The native plants, that's the proposal that we put in front of the Coastal Commission, is give us the
I'd say it's broader than that. So in the 80s, the district built the dunes in 84, and then in 85, the district got a CDP to plant the dunes. And we got a permit from the city to build the parking lots and the beach restrooms. But we've been proactively managing the beach as well. And the Coastal Commission thinks that we need to formalize and update these things all better. So it's not just planting. I would say there's a bit of horse trading to make sure we can manage the sand outside of the dunes. If we have to do something differently, what is the, you know, build in the remediation? So it's, the plan will be like, how do we manage the whole beach as one under a blanket permit that has different levels of escalation and different responsibilities. We're getting there, and it will be implementing different, you know, not just native plants, but possibly putting in like beach fences and other structures that might help preserve the dune long term as we plant it. Hydro seeding, etc. All the different options become part of it, and you know, we're basically doing a framework to set it up, set us up for the future for that.
Yeah, one of the other things that they asked us to do is start removing non-native species, but that could undermine, the dune in the meantime.
Right.
So just pulling everything out leaves exposed sand.
Yeah, I think until we have that other component of it, the natives getting put in, I think that needs to stay there.
And established.
Yeah, I did want to also say that the city is working, and this is where it could be a little bit confusing. Been pressing the city, there's a sand management plan that we put together, Beacon put together along with the city and Surfrider back in 2007 to actually start berming, to allow us to start berming up the beaches and be able to sort of protect them against what you saw on December 28th. But the city balked at that, or the residents balked at that and didn't want to hear anything about it. Now that all those same people are asking me, hey, what happened to that plan? So the good news is we had sort of a little bit of awakening on December 28th, but that piece, the city's working on that. And I think, don't want to, you know, because this is a separate, we have a permit with state lands. It's separate than what you call the city. And maybe the Coastal Commission doesn't know that either. They might be asking you to say the same thing, to incorporate that sand management plan with the city. But I think you're right. I think they have to be distinctly two different entities. But still along, maybe utilizing a lot of what the city plan is already would be putting in place. Again, restructure dunes, native habitat, and then leaving debris so that the sand dunes can build up, things along that line. So,
Tony,
I just wanted to say that in the future when we're doing the budget, in light of federal budget challenges, if there is going to be a federal budget, and the California budget, which is running a deficit, the impact on coastal commissions and other things like that is to perhaps have some contingencies available if decisions are not made or things are put off, so that, you know, I'd hate to see the beach erode. But on the other hand, coming up with some great plans, but not having the mechanisms there from the federal side or the state side there to say A or nay can also be an impediment. And I think we need to have some contingencies there so that, you know, we're not basically saying, oh, well, you know, there's no one. So if it means getting permissions or delegations of authority or anything like that. But it's, I can tell you what the scary thing is, this is happening fast. I mean, you can actually see this happen. And, you know, it takes what happened a few weeks ago, you know, where it all gets washed away before we, oh, you know, maybe we should do something, which is unfortunate. And I'm thinking about those of us now, but I'm also thinking about a lot of the upcoming generations that won't have a beach to walk on like that. So I think in light of the budget challenges, to get them to expedite plans or delegations of authority and things like that.
Well, as Commissioner Brennan knows, the magic word is emergency CDP. Which is basically, well, we were going to do it and then we'll ask forgiveness later. Mm-hmm. That's not a fun road for anybody, but that's always in the back pocket in terms of authority. Painful, but doable.
Yeah, I think maybe to clarify, the Coastal Commission has stopped us from managing this beach. So until they will issue permits to us, they have disallowed us to be working on this beach area. So that's where we stand today. And we told them this was going to happen again, and it's happened again. And so we are impressing upon them how important it is to have the authority to be out here to keep this place safe for the community. So that's where we're trying to get.
Just in the next dredging cycle, we would start like we did this year. The first thing was securing the beach so that we were able to take the pipe down to the Santa Clara River. Would that be a statement that would be true at this point? We'd try to replenish what we lost initially?
Yeah, so step one will be building enough sand to get in, get over the south or the south jetty, which right now you can't.
Right.
And then to build, I think the minimum buffer is 25 feet from the dune, but the pipe can't even be on the beach. And then the pipe, there has to be enough beach that a rogue wave wouldn't wash the pipe to sea. And so basically they're pumping, you know, 50,000 yards of material plus fluids a day, and they just continue to build the beach and move southward. Last year they did something exceptional for us, which they normally, they have no obligation to do, which is to build a retaining berm so that the sand and water has to pass around the berm. That allows more sand to settle out. It's what they do at Surfside Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw how they did that, I asked them to do that for us in the wet, which is a favor. It's not part of the Manson's contract with the Corps, but they do it. And so we're optimistic we can convince them to do that again. That'll probably come at an extra cost the next time around, but I hope that the Corps will, in their future contracts, make that a permanent part of the procedure. And that will retain more sand.
Right, right.
So speaking of the Corps, you said they're coming tomorrow. I was thinking about a picture you showed us at the last meeting of the jetty and the beach islands. Side of the jetty being a bit exposed. It's not supposed to be exposed. Will the Army Corps inspect the jetty as well as the breakwater?
Yes, the both jetties are part of the navigation program. The Corps built the groin. We are not 100% sure if they retain jurisdiction and responsibility for it, but we believe so. We believe that's all part of the project. And so they will build back what they deem is necessary to retain its functionality as designed, which may or may not mean doing something at this time. As a good example, the Zuniga breakwater in San Diego is entirely underwater. You can't even see it other than navigation lights, but the Corps has determined it's fully functional and does what it's supposed to do. There's no need to replace it or upgrade it. So it stays as is, even though it's completely underwater.
Better check your charts before you
that's scary
around there. Okay. Looks like we've good discussion. Appreciate that. That was just for information. So we'll close standard agenda item number one, and we'll move on to agenda item number two.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have Sergio Gonzalez give this presentation.
Good evening, Board, Commissioners. As stated on the standard agenda item number two, staff has identified equipment deemed surplus property. One of the items which has probable value of over 5,000 is our decommissioned aerial lift truck, which would be need board approval to be deemed as surplus for our surplus property policy. We are here to present you the request to have the board declare vehicle M55, which is a 2008 Ford F-153 outfitted with an Altec AT200 boom lift, declare surplus property. Every year we had this OEM vehicle manufactured, inspected by the manufacturer to certify the boom lift. On our last inspection at the end of 2022, we were advised by the Altec representative that due to the increasing deterioration of the lift, recertification the following year will be improbable, thus expediting a replacement. This vehicle was purchased in 2018 as a used utility vehicle and served this purpose for 5 years. The vehicle was purchased in a used state, and the vehicle boom has deteriorated with rust due to the harsh environments in the last 5 years, which have led to continuous repairs. Therefore, we budgeted and procured a new replacement in November 2023. With the new vehicle in service, we can now surplus M55. Basically, if you have any questions regarding this vehicle or everything else surplus, feel free. So,
Commissioners, before we go to public comment, any questions on this? Do we have any public comments? I see none here. Nobody online. We'll close public comments. So this requires a vote. So if there's no questions, do we have a motion?
I move that we declare the district property. Personal property as surplus and disposal of the same.
Okay. Second. Got a motion and a second to declare the boom truck as surplus property. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Hearing none, we approve Sergio's recommendation to declare the boom truck as surplus property. Thank you. All right, Brian, on to our third and final agenda item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, this is our quarterly update on our activities related to our objectives and long-term goals. And we'll jump in. I'm going to have Todd tag team with me here. But again, if there's any detail we want to talk about on any of the projects, you've got the team here as well. So on the first one, we just spent a little bit of time on dredging, but let's jump back into that. And Todd, you want to highlight one of the items here?
Yeah, I think most of the commissioners are familiar with our participation in CMAQ. But over the last 2 years, I've been participating in the Western Dredging Association Pacific Conference. It is something that I used to do in my previous professional life quite a lot. The advantage of going to this conference is that it is a little bit more on the technical side, with more regulator or more consultants working with regulators, and less about, we'll say, the money. But it has a lot of the same attendees, and one of the, I'd say, key takeaways that from that meeting was that I was able to sit down with the navigation program manager for the Corps, and this was in advance of the government shutdown looming in October, then again in December, and I was able to request on them to commit to doing, requesting the funding for the dredging in advance of the shutdown, meaning if the government were to shut down, our project's still going to get dredged. So that was off the table as a concern around Thanksgiving, which was, I thought, a pretty big win for us. And that's sometimes just spending the time and being involved in these communities, you get to have those kinds of conversations and leverage it. So that was, I think, a big win for attending that conference.
Okay, on to public and civic engagement. And the one that I wanted to highlight here on this page is Jennifer's and Ruby's annual visitation plan for Ventura Harbor Village. They really took the challenge in terms of working with DEI and recognition of cultural and community activities and events and really integrated that into the village in different ways. So the statement here is ongoing content development and recognition to celebrate DEI. This quarter, Hispanic Heritage Month, dance and music celebration October 15th, Dia de los Muertos display on October 29th, Hanukkah festival on December 9th, menorah displayed, I think as you heard in one of our previous reports, at Harbor Village in December, Christmas recognition with Winter Wonderland and Holiday Marketplace on December 16th. So again, you approve the marketing and visitation plan every year, and you've seen that begin to come into that plan, and now you're seeing the results from that, and applaud their efforts and continuing to grow that effort.
Just a quick question on that, and I don't know whether we have numbers. Do you know whether we're actually pulling in visitors that maybe wouldn't have visited otherwise?
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. Yes, well, we are seeing visitation numbers for the October 15th month, for instance, when we had the special act music and live entertainment. That was well attended. Whether or not we're not really surveying them if they came directly for that particular event, but we had a lot of people there for that. The Dia de los Muertos display that we do an ofrenda, and it's very, very popular the entire time. It's photographed from start to finish of the event, and we're even having to say at the end, I'm sorry, we have to start to take it down, but that's extremely popular, and it's been a welcome, I think, for sure. Having the menorah here this year, I think, was really tremendous for the village. This is the first year we've had it on display for that long, so that was really nice to have that visible too, and having the community, the Chabad of Ventura, come back here. We usually worked with the Chabad of Oxnard. Actually, this is the first time we worked with Chabad of Ventura to have their festival here, and they had about 55 in attendance.
Just really appreciate all the effort that you've put into these initiatives. So thank you and your team.
Yeah, and we'll continue to look at ways we can measure how it's attracting that type of visitor, primarily to an engagement that we have online. So we're already planning ahead for
all the activities already. We just met today on it, actually, at cultural activities and things like Women's International Women's Day and things like that coming up. So thank you.
The second item here at the very bottom, I know we've talked about this. So the chair, the vice chair, myself did a presentation last year with council. Our goal was for biannual. We're headed more towards annual at this point. I know based on the Public Works Department presentation on December 20th, they plan to take the managed parking plan for the Port District and the zone municipal code changes and all those things in March. That's not exactly our presentation. So I think we should begin to start planning to work with city manager's office and city clerk on scheduling an update from, I'm assuming, again, probably the three of us again as well. So I've got that on here as a note that we need to get to work on that.
Yeah, let me just jump in. And I agree. My notes were overdue for that visit, but that March discussion of parking, managed parking, seems to be an appropriate time frame for us to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. I do know that, I think as they indicated, they're going to be doing all of the parking activities, including downtown. So it's probably going to be a very full agenda that night, shall we say. So we may want to look
at a lot of public involvement.
With a lot of public engagement. So we may or may not want to, you know, use that night as the night to just do a broader update on the harbor, but maybe it helps. I don't know. We can talk about that. So anyways, that's my note there. We need to get going on that. And then I think just quickly one more on the next page. And that is Jessica helped us get the public and civic engagement plan in front of you in December. And that received its annual update with board approval. On to commercial fishing. And Todd, could you jump in on the first item there regarding our consultant WSP and their efforts?
Absolutely. So WSP over the summer did some interviews with local stakeholders from our fisheries. Once the grant was awarded to Wainimi for the modernization project, which they still have not signed a grant agreement with Caltrans yet, but once it was official, we were able to move interviews ahead with the Wainimi fisheries stakeholders. And then from that point on, WSP has started to work on conceptual design ideas for how the modernization project would look. We had probably five designs that I went back and forth with them, with Dave, and then we brought those designs forward to the entire management team and kicked the tires on it and had some, I think, frankly, brilliant ideas and additions, particularly, I think, from John and Pat. I would love to call out as having some really great ideas, completely transformed some of what we were thinking, came back with a couple more amendments, and we're at a point now where when Wainimi's finally signs the agreement, we'll probably set up a meeting with the fisheries all together, all of us, and hopefully also a presentation for the board by Wainimi. So I'm really excited as to how far we've taken it. But we'll probably be closing that contract pretty soon so that we have nice separation between the work that they've done and anything that will come under the grant.
Okay, thank you, Todd.
Frank, if I can just jump in on that. Please. I think that's one of the huge strategic opportunities we have. So look forward to those meetings. Look forward to seeing those concepts. I think that's great. It'll be good for the community and really good for us. So excited about that one.
Yeah.
Chris, you want to add on that?
Quick question. Poor Wainimi, the port, suffered some pretty significant damage from the storms. Have in your conversations, have they mentioned that that is going to affect their pace with respect to the grant work?
The pace has been slower than I would have hoped, with nothing to do with that. But my understanding is that Caltrans is the granting agency, has been the lodestone dragging things down. The finance, they've advised me that the finance team met with them yesterday, and I've heard this before, that the grant agreement should be in front of them pretty soon. But I would not be surprised that could be an impact for them. But we just need the funding agreement with them, and then the gloves are off and we can go to work. So
Down towards the bottom there, I wanted to share with you this last fall that under sustainable aquaculture, I was asked to be a member of a steering committee for California Sea Grants workshop in San Diego on November 2nd. And that was regarding the development of broadly accessible aquaculture siting tools. One day conference down there. But I also took the opportunity to meet with the Port of San Diego and a couple of aquaculture firms who were also in attendance and scheduled meetings with them while I was down there as well. So very productive conversation, a lot of research folks, as well as some industry and some government ports like ourselves. Follow-up to that event, which was several months of planning leading up to that event, is that I will be featuring a company called Ocean Rainforest, who's based in Santa Barbara. I chair the Chamber's Economic Development Committee, and representative from Ocean Rainforest will be the featured speaker next Tuesday here in Ventura as part of the as part of that committee, which has city council members and pretty wide variety of members of the community, along with representatives from our state assembly and state senate and federal representation as well. So looking forward to that. A lot of that effort's been ongoing. This company has a pilot project off the waters of Santa Barbara that is already permitted. Their goal is to expand into the channel closer to Ventura, and ultimately hope to use Ventura as a landing port for kelp farming, which is what they're engaged in. Yes.
And the chair, if I'm through the chair, I might ask, how are you finding the landscape in terms of regulatory when you're having these conversations with mussel farming, and as we know, I mean, we certainly faced a pretty strong headwind here, and certainly I was just wondering, is Coastal Commission, is Coastal Conservancy, are part of some of these? I'm trying to think also who would handle that from the state?
Well, Army in Corps terms of, at well, federal level is involved.
Well, federal, federal is easy. I mean, yeah. I say easier, but gung ho. I mean, every time we go back, they're like, great, make it happen. And then, you know, well, the Department of Commerce, but then we end up against our regulatory. So I'm wondering, has that gotten any easier since we had to back away?
Well, I think the fact that Ocean Rainforest has received a permit, I believe they are in federal waters, but they did have to get a consistency determination through Coastal Commission. So again, even if you're in federal waters, you have regulatory requirements through the state that you have to meet as well. Another firm, Pacific Six, is taking over the Catalina Sea Ranch farm and intends to mussel farm off of waters in Orange County. And that company also has interest in expanding into our waters here and using Ventura as a home port eventually. Some of the issues I think they're working through are FDA in terms of product landing, and then being approved for consumption. Those are some of the regulatory things. Wonderful. I think it's baby steps in the right direction.
Okay.
I think with Ocean Rainforest, they got a permit for, I think it's an 86 acre project. Mm-hmm. Obviously the scale is not large, but I think that in terms of the regulators, I think they want to see smaller scale projects, sort of proof of concept, no major problems. Mm-hmm. And then I think the opportunity to expand will be a little bit more palatable. So, I think that's sort of the direction I sort of see this going. I'm excited to see that the very types of things that we considered, mussel farm, possibilities of kelp farming, are slowly making their way, to this area. John, and this was anecdotal, but John and I were meeting with a scientist, who had indicated there could be some interest in the ways that these kinds of farms could actually dissipate wave activity.
Yeah,
you know, so when we look at all these different issues of you know, how do you manage these beaches and, you know, plant the dunes and so on, which is an important part of this. You know, there could be other opportunities within the ocean that actually help dissipate some of the energy before it hits landfall, and in sustainable ways in terms of the types of aquaculture that it brings to us. So stay tuned. That was a very, you know, sort of off the cuff comment. So I wouldn't say that there's extensive research on that, but I did see a recent article on the biodiversity of kelp and mussel farming and the beneficial impacts to fisheries. Some of the things that we heard fairly early on, there was a study that was just concluded. So I'll forward that information to you. I thought that was pretty exciting news. So I think the more data and then the more real life examples of things that are actually happening out there, I think it'll make that permitting begin to be a little bit more palatable.
Just follow up on that. NOAA was doing their sighting study, I believe. Have they concluded that? What's the status of that? Do we know?
Yeah, I'll have to get back to you on that one. Our regional coordinator, who was working with us for so many years, Diane Windham, just retired, and so she just handed us off to somebody who's I don't think her permanent replacement, but doing some work on that. So I just saw an email in the last couple of weeks, so I need to reach out to that person, get an update.
Thank you.
Okay, on to our next page. And okay, with master tenants, you know, a lot of these projects that come through, looking at the first one there, the Ventura Yacht Club, you know, they sort of come here, we go through the environmental review, and then sort of what happens after that. And so the update with this project that you approved for dock replacement, their application by the city has been deemed complete. Comments were actually scheduled to be given to them today. I don't know if that happened. And they are looking a little bit further back than they thought. They're looking at an April start date for construction of that dock replacement project that you approved to sometime in 2023. So that's moving forward, which is great news. And we touched a little bit on Water Pure earlier, but at the very bottom of that, I think what's worth noting here, and then I'll let Todd jump in, is just the ongoing dialogue between the city, ourselves, Harbor Patrol, facilities, administration, and so on. It's just sort of an ongoing effort to continue to work together through the project as it continues. But Todd, anything you think noteworthy to touch on?
I'll say that the city has given their contractors a fairly liberal hand in communicating with us directly. This is going to happen this time. This is what's going to happen now. Posting notices to producing notices to the community about the poll and mailing them individually to all the residents in the Keys, and then providing us to all our master tenants. Are just really working on that communication. In this last quarter, they had a pretty terrible sign in front of our dry storage. It was just a 4x8 sheet of plywood with spray paint on it. And, you know, it took a couple of weeks, but, you know, with a phone call, and I'm like, yeah, we don't want it to look like that either. And now we have a nice sign. We continue to work on this in the right way. And one of the later requests has been going back to the extension of the construction easement is perhaps holding it a little longer so that director can finish some repaving work in their yard before returning the boats back to there. And that may be a consideration that we would endorse simply because it helps out the master tenant. That's what we're talking about here. So.
Yeah, actually I wanted to go back up on that second one. Let's see, with master tenants.
Right, where you get the organized. Can I follow up on Water Pure?
Sure.
We were concerned about impacts on the mobile home community on Portside. And there's been a lot of disruption to the road, but have we received feedback from residents?
John, you've been hearing anything?
I would say that the only thing I've, and it's not so much heard, but it's as observed, is it certainly interrupted the walking patterns.
Yeah,
of the people at the mobile home park, there's a lot of jaywalking that doesn't in spots that doesn't really seem particularly conducive and necessarily safe. You know, it's a short short days this time of year and people are still out at dusk and dawn, you know, crossing the street where the crosswalk used to be but isn't anymore. And then also the bicycle lanes being absent has created a lot of, I'd say hairy situations, which they haven't come to us to complain, but it's clearly visible that those are impacts that that are certainly not desirable, but that they're experiencing.
I wanted to touch on Portside. We've made quite a bit of progress on gateway signage at Schooner and Harbor Boulevard. So we'd come to the board previously with some different concepts. We have made quite a bit of refinement of that into a singular design that I'm sharing with each of the master tenants. I've gotten feedback from Portside and from directors so far, both of which like it, what we've come up with. So we're going to bring that back to the board soon. Right now it's at the city. Joe Gonzalez has been working with the public works team. There are easements in that corner that run parallel to Harbor Boulevard that we have to work through. And some of the work that was done on that corner, some of there were preliminary development conditions. So the city is evaluating that. The one thing that we're trying to do is to help to get those answers from the city sooner rather than later. There is a block wall. I'm sure you've all seen that as you come in. That's there now. This would be basically replacing that block wall. And some of the feedback I got from the board was to look at how it sort of interacts with Spinnaker Drive and how do we have some continuity there? And then how do we modernize the look? And I think the architects done a good job of doing all of that and would cause some improvements to the Spinnaker Drive entryway at some point in the future as well. So that's gone pretty far, but the step I'm at now, which is with the city and having them review the plan, look at the schematics, let us know if they have any concerns. We'd be willing to be conditioned relative to building over easements that they have the right to access it and all those things. It certainly hasn't been an issue for many, many years. So I think there's a solution there. I've engaged also the city manager's office, economic development team. There is a push from the Portside businesses in particular who are not on a main street. And as you know, we did directional signage in on Harbor in our Harbor Wayfinding signage package that points to Director, that points to Portside, points to Harbor Town Point here as a way to work on sort of an integrated sign package. So so we've gone as far as we can go until we get clearance from the city and or any conditions they want to place on us. But that is something I continually hear from businesses at Portside. We need a sense of entry at Schooner. Okay, next. National Park Service. I don't know how much we want to talk about this tonight, but the first item there, I had mentioned, I think, to the chair that I really don't have action with regards to, the National Park Service's interest in Parcel 8. We've talked about some kind of joint effort to make that more of an attraction on our parcel that sort of relates to the national park. They express some interest. I haven't heard much from them, and we've been extremely busy on a lot of other matters, as you can see. So at some point, I need some board feedback on where do we want to put this within the 5-year context, given. Vice Chair, you mentioned some vacancies that have come up. That's now taking a significant amount of our time as well, and extremely important to us, both from a revenue perspective and for all of our tenants within the village. So we're engaging architects and likely engineers on that effort. So personally, I don't see this as quite a high as a priority as the work we're doing on Parcel 5 and the park planning and all the things at the village and all the other list here, but it is on our 5-year list, and it did talk about 2023, but I'm not getting any real push from the National Park Service either at this point. So so I'd probably look for some direction on that, but you can tell where I'm going with this, which is I'd probably put this towards the back of the 5 years than on the front of the 5 years.
I'll just say I agree with your instincts.
Yeah, I would concur. I think Parcel 5 has got a little momentum and an exciting concept out there. I think we put our energies that direction.
Okay. So maybe we propose some updates to the timelines in the next quarterly report. Okay. Yeah, I think the other thing to note is a lot of activity with the next item here that's here, Island Packers. You know, marketing works closely with them to promote their various activities that, of course, they're the vendor for National Park Service. The whale watching we talked about earlier, we talked about it, you know, even within our own promotional activities. And spread that word with Visit Ventura and so on. So I think that's just, there's a strong continued partnership and communication there between National Park and Island Packers and ourselves. Next one, on to parking management. Second item there, you know, we were able to get obviously Public Works to come here and give you all a presentation on December 20th. I don't think we liked all the answers we got. Some of the answers were pretty good. Some of the other ones were very bad, given the timeline or lack thereof for Spinnaker Drive at all. I would suggest when we go back to council as a whole, but individually, and I know I touched on this at that meeting, which is, you know, they're giving us their information relative to here's how we index the quality of the roads and the conditions. And I think, Vice Chair, you pointed out, well, that was before the last set of rainstorms in 2022 when those were rated in terms of the quality of the street. Spinnaker Drive needs to be in better condition. There's no doubt about it. It serves too many different functions that are economic drivers for the city. I think we need to impress upon the council that. I know our council liaison mentioned to me last night he hopes to be here at the next meeting. I can't remember if he was here when Public Works presented or not, but he did mention to me he hoped to be here at the next meeting to give council updates. I think we need to use every opportunity we can to impress upon the importance of that street and do an economic impact study that shows the value of this harbor to the city and the region.
Yeah, some of my colleagues in finance for cities are using climate change in terms of improving the significance of capital improvement projects by showing before and after. I mean, like the picture up there showed, you know, the beach. They're basically doing the same thing in terms of getting certain things moved up, because they basically do, you know, this is your pavement management system and this is the maps and this is what we're doing. But a picture basically shows like, well, that's changed. You know, your pavement management system is a little bit outdated based on the last storm.
Yeah, so, and we picked some pretty bad ones to take to council last year. And we'll have to so we'll have to get some new ones. You're right, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? But I mean, all kidding aside, it is a serious issue. And to not even be on the five-year plan doesn't make any sense. I think between our council members, we have to drive that message home. Gold Coast Transit, we also got them out here. You had a chance to hear from them. We were able to distribute information to the tenants after that meeting about the late night safe rides program. I think John has that handy now. Marketing, I think that's one of those things. You know, you can't just put it out once. You got to keep sort of putting it out. I think it should be on our, maybe on our website, continue to have that information handy that, you know, if you're not ready to drive, this program is here available. And even if you are ready to drive and you want this program, it's available. So even though we don't have regular bus service, we are within the program boundaries. And that is something we're eligible for. And I think we'll continue to look at opportunities for transit services as a whole. Okay, on to revenue. And Todd, you want to touch on our all of our SCE activities and our electric charging?
Absolutely. So as the board knows, that prior to making our procurements for electric vehicles, four EV chargers were installed here at the district headquarters office. We're working on getting our grant reimbursement for those. And then we are, let's say, leveraging our case with SCE for the other 21 The city approved the SCE building permit and issued the building permits last summer, and Edison hasn't moved on them. So we've been pushing them. They have some obligation where the minute they break ground, they must be complete and the system's online in 8 weeks. So if they can't line up all the labor, if they can't line up all the supply chain things, they don't want to start. So we had confidence that they were going to start in January this year, only to find out they're like, we're thinking late 2024 now. And I'm like, well, we have another grant that they're going to take my money away. And so we don't have a local rep, which is another issue that Brian and I have been working on, is getting a local SCE representative assigned to us. Made a pretty strong case, I think, and we don't have one, but I think we're moving in the right direction. But we did get confirmation that they're going to try to find a way to expedite our project against others based on the excuses we've given them. So we're pretty optimistic. The plan will be, I believe it's 10 chargers at 1567 directly in front of Baja Bay, and then 11 chargers at the parking lot where the grassy strip is in front of the Ultimate Escape Rooms. And those are the areas that are most readily served by the existing transformers, which is why the areas were picked. I will add a couple more 88 parking locations as part of the project as well. And so we're pretty excited to finally get that going if we can. So cautiously optimistic for Q2.
Good. Next page, Jessica.
Before you go, Todd, yeah. I met the new public relations government, public affairs.
Natalie?
Andrew Thomas.
Oh, okay.
He's met him on Friday, and I'll give you this card.
All right.
And he's raring to go. He was in the Ventura County Leadership
Academy,
taking the tour, mm-hmm. and I know he'd be able to help jump on that plan.
Good. Thank you.
And really quick on page 69, I liked in number three the rainbow in number three on under the achievements.
Thank you. Okay. Next page, and. Yeah, just we continue, and I think Jessica Snipes has been continuing to report this as we transition to the portal payment system. My goal for her is to continue to transition all tenants to online payments, which is more efficient for everybody. But you know, there's a learning curve involved with that, and I'm used to writing checks and so on. So we're getting there. I think she includes that in the leasing report. I think she gives you a number how that's going. So our goal for this first quarter of this year is to continue to go down that path and get closer to full participation with that. Probably take a little bit longer than that, but we're getting closer and closer to that.
Jessica gets credit for the rainbow too.
Mm-hmm. And then on to our last item there. You know, this is part of the budget you approved in the very last item there, which is our season's greetings holiday decor. I've just gotten really great feedback from, of course, marketing manages that, but they work very closely with facilities. That goes through a competitive bid process. The board increased that budget about 4 years ago now, and we began using a professional decor company to install those every year. We've just gotten a lot of positive feedback about the Parade of Lights in general, and I think the season decor. So every year we want to add more and make it a little bit more exciting each year, but it certainly has changed a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. So appreciate that in terms of those activities. There's a lot going on at the village, everything from, as we talked about earlier, loose cannon to there was a couple of pictures in the departmental report about the new office suites where the former comedy club was. I would love to get you all up there. I'm sure Joe would too. They look really good, really big transformation. Again, Brophy's has taken one of those suites, one side of the building backed up to the restaurant, and our architects were able to design it where we took out a wall, and they've become one of our first new tenants in that space. And I think it's basically a break room for the employees and a office space, and I think lockers for the employees. So great use for them. We have a CPA who has signed a lease for a front office that's all glass looking out to the harbor, really tremendous. And we've got four more to go, but a really exciting transformation of that space and a lot of improvements going on at the village. So stay tuned for all of that. And I think that's what we got for you, but happy to go back if you have any questions or want to talk about any more of these.
I'll jump in on one, the landscape plant palette. Good thing that was empty. I'd like you to bring that to the board. I look forward to seeing that. Something that I know it I is talk about a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah, look forward
we
to that.
We just got it last week. So last week?
Good.
Yeah. The year, and we had some tweaks that we wanted to get done. So hopefully by the end of the month, we will have the final to present to you guys. So really good report. So
yeah, and there's a lot of uses for that. The areas that were all cleaned out near where the old trash enclosures were removed, and we put in the pavers, and then we left little sections there for landscaping. We wanted to make sure we did it right, sustainable. Plant materials, drought resistant, all those good things.
All good.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to see those start to fill in.
Yeah, such a big part of the visitor experience and kind of couples with the national park and native plants. That's all a good theme. Do we have any, before we go to final comments here, do we have any public comments? I don't see anybody here in person, anybody online. Unfortunately, no public comments. Great update, by the way. Very thorough. I appreciate that. Commissioners, we've had good dialogue. Any more comments?
I just want to have just two comments to you, Brian, and the staff. One, very impressive. And two, I just want to say thank you and all of you for all of this. I would hope that citizens who are watching would go through because this is one of the rare times you can actually see an organization in the public sector doing things and achieving things and explaining things. And if you didn't catch it the first time, watch it again because it's televised. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if I could just follow up. I remember when you first got appointed to the board, we had a cup of coffee and you said, does this place have any goals, objectives, anything that we can measure and keep track? Yeah, I think we do a pretty good job. Yeah. I think Brian and staff do a pretty good job. Other comments?
Just when we're thinking about our goals around engagement with the community and the lack of public participation in meetings, especially post-COVID, is there an opportunity for us in the near future to have another public meeting outside of here to talk about the next 5 years or climate change and beach erosion and public safety and those kinds of things?
Yeah, well, I think from the discussion earlier about the beach erosion, I was going to say we should bring in an expert. I think we've got one here, but he may want to bring in a few others. But I think it's a good discussion. And I think in terms of budgeting and sort of balancing that, you know, how much money can you set aside versus what should we be planning for based on where we're at with the discussion with Coastal Commission, that probably will lead to a budgetary number that we'll need to plan for. That's only one aspect, as you point out. I mean, it's a much bigger issue than just, putting some plants within, some of the dune structure, and it's going to cause a lot of planning. And then figuring out how much is federal versus us. And then, as we say, how much more, funding, where they'll be from FEMA, how many more disasters are there, and so on. So it's a challenge. We're a relatively lean, budget that manages everything from a harbor to public beaches, confronted with, as you said, it's happening in real time to us right now. And we'll get there with Coastal Commission, but, as I pointed out earlier, that is causing some delay in our ability to implement some of these changes that we'd like to implement. But I think bringing that back as a topic, I think, would be a really good idea. And then I think we have planned for, because I know we've checked a couple of times, I think it's 2024 that we planned for another public meeting, which could be any month, right? It doesn't have to wait till, it was in December when we did it in 21.
Yeah,
but I mean, that could be whenever we all choose to schedule that. It could be, when we had some bigger items too, we sometimes took them off campus, so to speak. We took it to the Four Points. We've done things at the mobile home park. So I think those are ways to sort of just get out of the regular location. It could be at the village, things like that, that might change it up a little bit.
I think the December was because of schedule problems. Like our target was early, like October, like early fall.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it was? September?
Yeah. I just want to say it got by me earlier, but I do think that we have the opportunity with our latest tenant to actually give them a living lab out of, and create a dune system. I mean, we just leased just created a lease with the Students for Eco-Education and Agriculture. Mm-hmm. I mean, agriculture is on that side of the street and the dunes are on that side of the street. I mean, forging a relationship with them. And I don't know how many, it's the first time I've ever heard of this group, but I mean, if they're starting to incubate and getting into the schools, like the lab that we had, the lab here before, I think it's a huge opportunity in creating an outdoor classroom in terms of the native plants. I mean, those are the people that can continue to monitor and keep that dune system up. So I would encourage that formalize some type of a relationship.
There. Yeah. On the Chamber's website, there was I don't know if it was an article that they uploaded onto the Chamber website, but there was an interesting whole article about SEAG and what they do.
8,100 kids they've taken to farm in the last year. That's an incredible number of students to be engaged with.
Yeah, well, we said we can do a lot of dune planting and weeding and weeding. Believe me.
But I think as we've done with the lab, we should invite them in. In the spring sometime, once they kind of get settled here, invite them in to make a presentation.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah. Do you need a motion to receive and file, or is it just Jessica will do that for us?
I would like to have a motion.
So moved.
All right. Well, we have a request from the clerk to receive a motion. Do we have a motion?
As I said, so moved. Yeah.
We got a motion.
I second.
And a second. So all in favor of receiving this excellent and thorough update, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All any opposed? Hearing none opposed, that motion is approved. Again, appreciate the update. Before we adjourn, we will see everybody again on Wednesday, the 1st?
February
7th.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Wednesday, February 7th. So, all right, we'll see everybody then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Board.
Stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Yes, it's ever since.